Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Let us rise to our feet. Let us sing our way into worship and then remain standing for the call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship in your bulletin. Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, among the privileged, Christ is coming. In the private house, in the public place, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall, Christ is coming to make all things new. With a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with burning love, Christ is coming to make all things new. That the kingdom might come, that the world would believe, that the powerful might stumble, that the hidden might be seen, Christ is coming to make all things new. Within us, without us, behind us, before us, in this place, in every place, for this time, for all time, Christ is coming
to make all things new.
Friends, it is a cold day outside. Amen? It is even a windy day outside, which makes it a perfect day to share the peace of Christ. Because here's what happens when we share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ, it warms your heart like a nice blazing fire. Here's what happens when we share the peace of Christ. A blanket wraps around you to drive out even the coldest wind. The peace of Christ, it is an amazing thing. Brothers and sisters, the peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another. Friends, if you are warmed up, please be seated. Friends, welcome to the First Congregational Church here in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and that means this. It means that we fling open our doors wide and broad, to welcome in visitor and member, to welcome in saint and sinner, to welcome in young and old. It means that we open our hearts wide open to new friendships, to new experiences, and to love that grows. It means that we open our minds to new ideas, to long-held truths, and to questions that have no answers. It means that we open our hands so that we might grab each other's hand, so that we might walk with one another for a while and share the road. It means each and every week we open our mouths to say how glad we are that you have joined us, whoever you are, and whatever brought you here this morning. If you are new with us this morning, you will notice in your pews there are pew cards. I would ask you to fill them out and to place it in the offering plate when that comes by so that we know how to get a hold of you. And if you give us enough information to get a hold of you, we will. If you are new with us today, I want you to know you picked a great day to be here. You might notice that there are some beads around this room. Today, the Sunday before Lent, we will have the saints with us, our band. We will sing and we will dance our way in the love of God. So I'm glad you are here. There are a few things that I want to share with you today before opening it up for announcements. First of all, today, we once again remember someone who has gone before us. Today, we remember the life of D.D. Bronson, a wonderful person who joined this church last year. I only had the chance to speak with D.D. over the telephone, but one person I spoke with this week said that D.D. was a person who just always brought a smile to your face and a laugh to your belly. The white rose on this table this morning is in honor of Dee Dee, that we might remember her in the midst of our worship. Let us take a moment right now in silence and in prayer. Amen. There are a couple of announcements that I would like to share with you. The first of which is that we do start the season of Lent this coming week. We will begin it, as the church does every year, on Ash Wednesday. This church will have an Ash Wednesday service right here in this sanctuary at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. You are all invited and encouraged to come. Next week, we will begin our Lenten education series, which will take place at 11:30 a.m. on Sundays after worship in the Jonathan Edwards room. It will be based on the wonderful little book, Mudhouse Sabbath. We're going to be offering childcare, we're going to be offering lunch, And we ask that you sign up so that we might be prepared. If you have any questions, please see me or a member of Christian Education or Growth and Fellowship after worship. I now invite anyone who has an announcement to come forward at this time to this microphone so that you might make your announcement.
On Thursday, February 21st, anybody is welcome for a four-week Bible study on the Gospel of Luke.
The children will be being excused, right? Released. I like that better. They will be released right after the Lord's Prayer, and we will be decorating the tables, and we will be practicing with our instruments and doing any number of things to prepare for the party. So I will see you there.
Open table's going along really well, and we have an opportunity to clean the Grange on this Saturday at 9 o'clock. So anybody who's ever been in that building and would love to scrub those floors, we could use some help. Be a good way to start Lent, you know, like really getting something clean. So love to have you. Let me know if you're coming, and so we can sort of plan who's scrubbing what. Thanks.
Irving, you do not have to go so far because we are going to... Oh, you have another announcement? Okay, go ahead.
Another announcement. Due to the weather that's coming in apparently tomorrow, Service League will not be meeting. We will now meet the next week.
Okay. We are now going to continue in worship with our time with children. And I have counted the children in this room. And I'm going to tell you, I need every single one of you to come up here this morning because we have an important job to do. So all I could see the four of you back there. I need all of you. Would you please come forward? It would make me so happy. And Irving, come on up. All right. And then... Okay, perfect. I actually needed six, so that's beautiful. Thank you. All right. We have this morning a really, really important story that we need to know and that the congregation needs to know. And so instead of telling them that story, you know what we're going to do this morning? We're going to act out that story for them, and you are going to be my actors and actresses. Okay? Okay? I'm not fully convinced, okay? All right. So, we even have another. Perfect. All right, so in order to really act something out, you need to have props and costumes. So we're going to give you that. Now, the first role that I need is someone who's willing to play Jesus. Okay, hand went up. You are the good shepherd. Here is your prop. All right, now, next I need three people who are willing to play disciples. Okay, one. Come on. All right, well, I will just go ahead and assign then. How about that? Since you volunteered here, this is something that you can put on. It goes right on over the top. The disciples were simple people, and so they wore simple clothes like that. All right, who's going to be a disciple? You're going to be a disciple. Thank you very much. You put that on. Irving, would you like to be a disciple? Nope. Okay. Would you be a disciple for me? Nope. Would you be a disciple for me? Great. Here you go. All right. Then we have two other roles in the story to play, and these are really easy, and they come with cool things. One is to play Moses. Irving? No. Who wants to play Moses? You play Moses? No. Tristan will play Moses. All right, Moses, you need the book of the Torah. And if you can get that on your head, you can wear that. The coolest costume goes to Elijah. Somebody? Okay. We will have Elijah appear. Can I get somebody out here to be Elijah? Thank you. Perfect. Okay. All right. So here's what I need. I need Jesus right up there by that chair. And I need everyone to be looking at Jesus, okay? Now, here's what happens. Here's what happens before our story for today begins. Jesus gathers all of his disciples together, which includes all of you. And Jesus says this to the disciples. Disciples? Very good. Who do people say that I am? Very good. And you know what the disciples say? Here's what the disciples say, and I need you all to repeat it with me. They say, John the Baptist. Or Elijah. Or a great prophet. And then Jesus asks one more time. He says, but who do you say that I am? And they respond, the Messiah. Absolutely. And then Jesus goes to tell him what being the Messiah means. It means facing difficult times and hard things. And the disciples don't really want to hear that. And so Jesus has an idea. He says, I need to take my disciples with me up onto a mountain. So he says, disciples, I need the three of you to come with me to a mountain. Okay. So you guys all get up. We got to follow Jesus to that mountain. Jesus, come on up the mountain. Here we go, right up this mountain here. Elijah, you can stay there for the moment. Okay, so the disciples follow Jesus up to the mountain. And then Jesus says to the disciples, disciples, sit here because I have to pray. All right, so the disciples sit down, and Jesus, you go off and you pray on the other side. Go ahead and walk over there, and you pray. Here's what happens, though. Jesus prays, and then Jesus prays, and then Jesus prays, and Jesus keeps praying for a very, very long time. So the disciples, well, the Bible tells us they started to get sleepy. So here's your pillow. Okay, so the disciples, they start to get sleepy, and they start to almost fall asleep. But you know what? They don't quite fall asleep. And they keep looking at Jesus. And what the story says is that as Jesus prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, that Jesus' clothes, they changed. They became white and dazzling. It says that as Jesus prayed, that Jesus' face started to glow and shine. And the disciples watched all of that. And as Jesus was praying, what they also saw was that Elijah and Moses, where's my Elijah and Moses? You come on up over here. They came up the mountain, and they came up to talk with Jesus. Now, Moses and Elijah had been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years, and so these disciples who were kind of sleepy, they were wondering, what is it that these great pillars of faith, Moses and Elijah, were doing with Jesus? And so they talked to each other. Go ahead and talk to each other. Yep. They talked to each other. And then what the story says is that Moses and Elijah started to leave. So go ahead and start to leave, but don't go very far. All right? And the disciples didn't want to see them leave. So they said, wait. Stay. Let us build a tent for you. And as soon as they said that, all of a sudden what happened is that a cloud came over. And it got dark. And it got scary up front. And the disciples, they were afraid. And then all of a sudden they heard,
this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him.
They heard God talking out of that cloud. And what do you think they were? They were really scared. They were trembling. Can you tremble? All right, they were trembling. Very good. So they were scared. But then Moses and Elijah, they go away. And Jesus comes back over to the disciples. Come on, Jesus, back over to the disciples. And Jesus says, disciples, we can't stay here.
We can't stay here.
We have to go back down to the world and do what we're supposed to do.
We have to go back down to the world and do what we're supposed to do.
And so, together, they all left the mountaintop and went back down. So let's go down. I'll take your... So they left the mountaintop and they went back down. But let me ask you a question. If you were on the mountaintop, would you have remembered what you saw? Would you have remembered Moses and Elijah showing up, people who were long since gone? Would you remember that? Yeah. Would you remember Jesus dazzling and shining? Yeah. And that's what Jesus was hoping, that his disciples in the tough times ahead would remember God's love and would remember those miracles. That's why we tell this story every year. Let me take your props from you. So let me ask the congregation. Congregation, did you learn that story?
Yes.
All right, then you did a great job. Before we go, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Okay, let us pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can go now.
The epistle lesson today is from the second letter to the Corinthians. It's found in your pew Bible on page 1005. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. May God add understanding to these words of truth.
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to the sight of strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sisters and brothers, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is despair. Love, you see, endures all things. Love, you see, overcomes all things. It hopes all things. I believe that God gave us love that we might flourish, that we might hang in there during the tough times, that we might reach our potential. God created us, in fact, to love. To be full of love is the pinnacle of humanity, because then, when we are full of love, we are reflecting God's glory. The opposite of love is not to hate, but to despair, because to despair is to lose heart. It is to give up. It is to give in. It is to let our hope slide out between our fingers like grains of sand. When times are tough and life is hard, I know from the bottom of my heart that there is nothing better than love. It is that love that helps us keep our heart and our hope and to see things through. If the children and the adults had kept acting out our transfiguration story this morning, you would have heard that in Luke's account, just after Jesus shone bright and full of love, right after Moses and Elijah left that mountaintop, right after the voice out of heaven called him the beloved, right after they went down off that mountain, Jesus gathered his disciples, and here's what he said to them. He said, "I'm going to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be arrested. There I'm going to be beaten. There I'm going to be betrayed. There I am going to be crucified." I think the reason that Jesus brought Peter and James and John up there to the mountain is because he knew how hard their life was going to be. And Jesus did not want them to fall into despair. He wanted them to hold on to love and to show them what love can do. The opposite of love, it is not hate, but despair. To be full of love is to reflect God's own glory. The people of God at that time, they knew that truth, and they knew it well, and so did the Roman powers. You see, they crucified people not just to kill them, but to take away their humanity, to strip them of their dignity. The Romans didn't care if the people hated them. They just wanted them to fall into despair, to give up, and to give in. So I think Jesus brought his disciples here to the mountaintop to show them what happens when you are full of love, how you reflect God's glory so much that you actually end up glowing. He brought them there to remind them of Moses and Elijah, two pillars of the people who in their own tough times, they never gave in, they never gave up. Jesus wanted Peter and James and John to be full of life and hope and love so that through the tough times that lay ahead, they would hold on. The opposite of love is not hate. It is despair, to give up, to give in. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians that Mary read for us this morning, takes it one step further. He claims that Jesus brought those disciples with him to the mountaintop, not just to reveal his own glory, not just to show him who he was, but also to show them who they could be. For love doesn't just help you glow, it helps you grow. Did you hear what Mary said? If you didn't, here's what she said. She said, all of us, that means you and me, all of us, seeing God's glory, all of us are being changed, Paul says. We are being transformed. We are being transfigured into the same image of God's glory from one degree of glory to another. Say what you want about Paul, and there's a lot to say about him, but he was an incredibly intelligent and intentional man. When he picks a word to put in a letter, he does so because it has meaning. The word that he wrote to the Corinthians that is translated in our reading for today as transformed, it comes from the Greek word metamorphosis. Think change, think butterfly. It is a word that he would write again to the Romans a little bit later, and it is a word that is used only one other time in all of the New Testament. And it's only used in the gospel accounts of the transfiguration. Paul wants us to know that not just Jesus can be transfigured, but so can we. He wants us to know that Jesus took those disciples to the mountaintop so they would see not just who Jesus was, but to see who they could be, transformed from one degree of glory into another, filled with love, and so that along the way, they would not lose heart. For the opposite of love is not to hate, it is despair. Every single year, if you come back again next year, you're going to hear the same story. We read it every year on the week before Lent. We read the story of Jesus on the mountaintop, for we know the truth of what Jesus told his disciples, that he is turning to Jerusalem, that he will be betrayed, beaten, and crucified. We do it to remember what love looks like, to have a story to hold in our hearts, to fortify ourselves for the journey of Lent so that we don't lose heart and so that we don't despair. So here on the Sunday before Lent, we read that story.
On this Sunday, though, there is something else we want you to hold in your heart right alongside of it. We want to share a story, a tool, a means by which millions of people did not despair during one of the ugliest times in this nation's history. As Lent starts in February, we remember that February is also Black History Month. It was 150 years ago in January that Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation that ended one of the most sinful and horrendous examples of what human beings can do to one another. In the second half of this service, we are going to turn to African American spirituals for our music. Not just because they are fun to sing, even though they are. Not just because they are full of life, even though they are. We will do it because those spirituals is what kept millions of people from despairing and giving up during slavery. Howard Thurman, writer, activist, and minister, reminds us that the goal of slavery, just like crucifixion, was not limited to the apparent outcome. What he said was the goal of slavery was not just to own your labor force, but to dehumanize them, to strip them of their ties to family, homeland, language, and culture. Slave owners didn't care if the slaves hated them. They just wanted them to give up and to give in. Slaves were not allowed to learn to read. Slaves were not allowed to speak to one another while they worked. Slaves were beaten in front of others, not just as a punishment, but as a message. Women were abused and raped by masters, not just for the act, but so that husbands and brothers would hear it going on and not be able to do anything, for slave owners knew that the opposite of hate, of love, is not hate. It is despair, and they desperately wanted the slaves to despair. And so the African Americans, they reach back to their homeland and to the music that shaped every aspect of their life there. And they brought the rhythm with them. They looked to the religion that was given to them or forced on them by their masters. It was the only reason they were allowed to speak with one another. And in that religion, they came to see the glory of God. They read the stories of Exodus, where God freed slaves. And they found hope. They read the stories of Jesus where he was beaten unjustly. And they saw their own story. In Easter, they saw a new life and knew it would come to them too. Through all of it, they saw God's love and they knew that God's love was for them. And so they took it. They took it all and they put it into song, something to hold on to, something to keep love kindled in their hearts so they would not despair. The rhythm of the spirituals, blended with the rhythm of their work, keeping the day to pass by more quickly. The message of the songs connected them with one another. They were used to communicate. Since they weren't allowed to speak, they sang. Songs like "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" was a hidden meaning that the Underground Railroad was coming near. They sang to say their goodbyes to one another before they left. They sang to comfort one another. Think of "There Is a Balm in Gilead." After they knew someone had been abused or tormented, they sang to give information to one another to help them escape or just to hang in there. And yet, in those songs, they also focused on God's love, the kind of love that transforms and figured until they were transfigured degree by degree and glory by glory. There is a story you need to know. It is about a slave named Charlie. Charlie was mercilessly treated by his owner. He was beaten until the welts on his back stood out inches from his skin. He was starved, nearly to the point of death, time and time again, but Charlie hung in there and he got his freedom. And sometime after his freedom, he met his former plantation owner, Mars Bill. And this is what he said to him. He said, "You whipped me. I used to serve you, work for you, almost nurse you, and if anything bad happened to you, I would have fought for you, for I am a man among men. What is in me, though, is not in you. I used to drive you to church," Charlie says. "I used to peep through the door to see you all worship, but you ain't right yet, master. I love you as though you never hit me a lick, for the God I serve is a God of love. And I can't go to his kingdom with hate in my heart. I done left the past behind me. I had felt the power of God, and I did not give up, he says. I tasted his love, and this had killed the spirit of hate in my heart. Friends, this is what love does. It transforms. It is why we look at the story of the Transfiguration every single year, to take all of God's glory into our heart and hold on to it to sustain us in the journey ahead. And today, we remember and honor that there is no better way to hold on to a story than by singing it. So as we sing these spirituals in this half of worship, sing them with memory of what has been and with hope for what might be. Sing them with conviction and joy. Let these African-American spirituals transform you as they sustained and transformed millions upon millions who have come before. Friends, today is indeed a great day. Let us rise to our feet as we are able, and let us sing that truth.
Amen. Please be seated. We once again come to a time in worship where we as a community lift our prayers before God. Before we pray each week, we share the joys and concerns that are on our heart so that we may take them with us in the week to come and pray them as individuals and as a family. So I ask, what are the joys and concerns of the congregation this week? Yes, Tristan. We lift up Dee Dee and trust her spirit to God, and we lift up all of her family and friends who mourn her loss. We give thanks that Betsy is here with us, and we pray, Betsy, that God and this community and the world sustains you in this difficult time. Other joys and concerns this morning. This morning we lift up and remember the congregation in New Orleans that this church befriended and went down many times to help rebuild. And we pray that God's Spirit stay with them.
Yes, I have a joy. My granddaughter performed in her first recital last Friday morning.
She both played and sang, played the piano and sang, and apparently there is a video on the way.
And Ronnie, what is your granddaughter's name?
Caitlin.
We pray in thanksgiving for Caitlin's gifts of art and music, and that there is a video. Yes, Tristan. We lift up the boy in Wisconsin who died in this storm, and we lift up all who were affected and are still affected by the storm that went through the Midwest and the East Coast. Yes. We do give thanks for this church and all the love you have shown. We lift up the joy and beauty of Claire and all the many ways you add to our life. Blessings on this birthday and many more to come. Friends, let us join then our hearts and let us join our minds together in prayer. We praise you, God, you who are our Creator, for the beauty of your wondrous creation. On this day, we thank you for the miracle of life and for the wonder of living. We give you thanks for the blessings of bright sunshine that follows the storm. We give you thanks for the gifts of creativity, of music, of art, of love. We give you thanks for Caitlin's first recital. We give you thanks for the Saints Band. We give you thanks for all our choir and for all who lift up their gifts to you. We give you thanks for the treasure that is stored in every life, for the treasure of Dee Dee, for the treasure of David. Today, God, we pray for others, claiming your love in Jesus Christ that you shared for the whole world. We commit ourselves to care for others in his name. We pray for this beautiful church, for its gifts of hospitality and ministry, that it may be strengthened to continue that work. We pray for those who work for the benefit of others. We pray for the congregation in New Orleans, a source of healing for that city. We pray for Claire Williams and for all that she does for all of us. We pray for those who cannot find work and those, God, who have so much work, way too much work on their plates. We lift up this morning, God, those who are lonely or struggling. We lift up Betsy. We lift up the Bronson family. And we lift up all those who care for them too. We lift up all those who need love, and we lift up ourselves, God, that we might be filled with love. God, you are our Creator. Yours is the morning, and yours is the evening. God, on this day, we just ask to let Christ shine in our hearts and draw us to the light of your radiant glory, degree by degree, bit by bit, step by step. Here we are, God. We bring ourselves before you, and we ask that you sustain us on this day and every day. And the whole church says, Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, later in that letter that Mary read, that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he told them that they have to give to support the church. Here's what he said. He said, each of you have to make up your own mind as to what to give. But he said, don't give out of guilt. Don't give out of pressure. Don't give because anyone tells you to. Because God, he said, God likes a cheerful giver. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received. God of love and light, Take these gifts and make them shine. Take these gifts and fill them with your love, that they may go out into this world as ministries of mercy and justice and hope. God bless all in this room who gave them and all who have gathered here, that we might likewise shine with your love. We ask all this in the name of our brother, Jesus. Amen. So I'll come back. Friends, our time of worship here in this room, it is coming to a close, that our worship of God might begin anew beyond these walls. But before you go, a couple of invitations I'd like to place before you. I cannot encourage you enough to come to worship with us on Ash Wednesday. To enter into Lent in Ash Wednesday, I promise you, will make Easter shine all that much more gloriously. So if you can, be here Wednesday at 8. There is one other invitation that I'm going to bring before you right now, and that is I hope that you stay with us after worship. We are going to do one of the greatest traditions of this church, one that I am so excited to experience for the first time. We're going to go into that room, and we are going to party. We're going to celebrate Mardi Gras. We are going to celebrate birthdays. We're going to celebrate all of your birthdays, in fact, in that room. And before we go there, I'm going to invite you, after our hymn, to join in our postlude. Normally, we sit for the postlude. Today, not so much. Today, the Saints Band will be playing, and I'm going to invite all of you to rise to your feet, to sing along with them, to dance along with them, to clap along with them, and to show love and joy. Friends, let us sing now.
Leading me, guiding me.
Friends, I send you forth on this day's in the words of William Sloan Coffin, a great minister and advocate for justice. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And most of all, may God take your hearts and set them on fire. And let the church say, Amen.
Good morning, saints. I'm Mamadou Alao Pereno. I'm the mouthpiece of the Saints Band, and I wanted to introduce the band to you this morning. First of all, you have no idea how long we've been rehearsing together for you. We have a couple new saints this morning joining us on keyboards for the first time is Evan Crawdaddy Mack. We have Linda Singing Strings Hottie joining us on violin. Mindy Fay-Dodo-Dow has crossed over to banjo for the first time this year. And we've brought in some ringers this morning, the Laissez-les bon temps rouler ringers, St. Margaret and St. Mary Jo. We have a cello section. Not that many New Orleans bands have a cello section. But we have Totally Terrific and Triumphant Trudy, as well as T. Yo-Yo Wilson. We have Tom Big Easy Randolph on tuba this morning, Ted Whistling Dixie Randolph on jazz recorder. Johnny B. Sometimes Good Demler is bringing us the rhythm this morning, and he will be joined by the Shake It Up Babies. Michael Doucette and Clifton Chenier send their regrets. They were not able to join us this morning. As you can see, we are an inclusive jazz band, so we are looking for new members for next year. See me if you want to be there in our number. We are also inclusive in terms of the congregation. We welcome singing this morning. There are verses to be sung and verses to be listened to and appreciated. Basically, if you hear the choir sing, sing with them. If you don't, just enjoy what else is happening. So you're invited not only to sing, but to stand and to dance with us this morning. Thank you.
Friends, go in peace and go in joy, and let's go party.
I don't know, we're peaking, Diane. All right, we really are.